Power 904 at the party station. Power 904, power 904, power 904, power 904. Turn it up low. He knows River is in.
Unit 10.
Power at my station. Mixing. He's a 10. You a fool. 904 at the best. I owe that. 904 again. Out with the convoy, a black range. We pull up, gala act strange. Step with the force, you see the front page. Machiavelli style, gala move them waist. All them fi catch up, I will never left space. 904 have money till them can't erase. Fan a BBL, mama shake what you have. Go go time, baby, work for the bag. Oh, I'm my station. Mixing. He's a 10. You a fool. 904 at the best. I owe that. 904 again. Sharp like razor gang, the pump point. Them boy, yeah, I move undercover, oink oink. No splash with me, decorate and paint. Tool in a box, nuff hammer and nail. Grab the Sylvester, rap face turn pale. Soon as them see the kid, them start act stammer. Them say, me a done but a bit crazy. Warning, pull up with the black army. Oh, I'm my station. Mixing, he's a 10. You a fool, 904 at the best. I owe that. 904 again. Me a bad influence. Bad influence. Me a bad influence. Bad influence. Me a bad influence.
Hey, what's up? This is your girl Nala right here in the den on Power 904. Listen, some people know me as a host, a publicist, a promoter, or even the girl who pops up as a friend on your social media timeline. But at the end of the day, I am really a girl on a mission to help you grow and expand your brand just as I did mine. I never said I had all the answers, but I will go out of my way to help make your brand be exposed as big as mine. My goal isn't to be famous. My goal is to reach, build, and expand with you. Don't play with me.
What up, what up? This is Mona, and I'm chilling in the den with my girl Nala on Power 904.
This your girl Nala, and we are right here in the den on Power 904. You know how we do it every weekend right here, bringing it in with new people, networking, trying to get everybody together within one another in different cities, not just Jacksonville this time. So I'm sitting here with a dear friend today. Her name is Mona. Mona, you want to tell the people who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
What up, everybody? This is your girl, Mona. Y'all already know I'm sitting here with Nala, you know, with her beautiful self. If you guys haven't had a chance to peek in on to do so. But I'm an artist, you know, and I just finished my first album, Velvet Sandpaper. And I'm excited to let the world hear about it. You know, and I'm from California, you know. I was going to call that home of the sun, but y'all over there in Florida with the,
yes,
you know, making it do what it do. So, you know, but I'm excited to be here and nervous at the same time, you know, because, you know, this is new to me, you know, and although she has this pretty face and this soft voice, I think she's going to let me have it. I don't think she, you know, no mercy. So, you know, I'm ready though. I think.
My first thing is I want to know about this album that you just dropped. You called it Velvet
Sandpaper.
Velvet Sandpaper. Velvet and sandpaper in the same sentence. What is this about?
When the concept or the name came about because of the, when you can hear the music when it gets out, the roughness of my voice, you know, and then the softness of it. And then it had to do, we went back to where it had to do with life. Like through the album, it tells a story. And the story starts off in romance, and then it goes to the dating, and then it goes to the sandpaper part of it, you know, to the part where you where you start loving yourself again. So it was like, you know, it was two things mixed together. I know they don't mix like oil and water.
Yeah. That's not like velvet sandpaper. Okay.
It actually is a ugly beautiful or a beautiful ugly. And so, and that's what my daughter called it, a beautiful ugly. And so just listening to it, the lyrics itself, and you will get it. Like, this is soft. This is beautiful. Oh my God, this is hard. This is beautiful. Like the lyrics, you know, everything about it, it just comes together. And right. Like you said, velvet and sandpaper comes together. But once you hear the album, you're going to be like, oh my God, velvet sandpaper.
So if you had to give me one of those songs off of your album for us to listen to today, what would it be? And tell me why you would choose that song.
I would probably choose Love No More. That song I wrote for my daughter, the one who passed away. I lost a baby on the 19th of November, and I wrote that song for her prior to her passing away. And it was just me talking to her, you know, with everything that she had been going through. And she was 25 when she passed. But everything that she was going through, it was me wanting to take everything from her and just write it myself. So the lyrics is, let me hold you, you know, until you whole again. And, you know, just let me listen to you till you run out of words to say. And let me love you till you don't need love no more. You know, so it's other lyrics. Look, I'm getting emotional. So, but it's other, the lyrics are, you know, and then there's a part in there that says, let me pray for you so God knows to turn your way, to look your way. And let me be for you what you can't be for yourself. Just let me love you until you love, until you don't need love no more. So that would be the song.
That song has a lot of meaning behind it, not just for us, but for you as well.
Oh, yeah. It's personal for me. The whole album is personal, but that song right there, which is, and that song was only one take, and it's different because my team, they didn't go into the song and mix it and take any of the impurities out. They left those so you can hear it at the beginning of the song. And at first I was worried about it, but talking with my, you know, with my manager, he was just like, it's so pure and so beautiful in that form. They just left it. So
that's where your mental was at that time. And that was deep.
Yeah,
that's something you just can't take away. So my next question is going into mental health. I normally wait before I get so, you know, deep into it, but you already got deep already. So let's go ahead and talk about it, because you've already went through the mentalness of this. How do you feel about mental health, and how does it affect you in life?
Being, and I don't want to say a victim, because I don't see it as being a victim, being someone who was aware of it. I grew up with a mom who was plagued by, you know, mental health, and all we got out of it is kids, everybody just telling us that our mom was crazy. You know what I'm saying? And there wasn't, you know, as far as Black people, it's taboo if you talk about it. It's taboo if you go get help. It was taboo, you know, it was just, or she's crazy, or she's going through something. When in all actuality, she was really going through something. They just didn't know how to help her. And right. So what that did is that spilled off into us as children. And we grew up with it. So me, myself, I suffer with it too. I tell my doctor all the time, I need a pill for my pill, because my pill didn't stop working. So, you know.
And that's real.
Yeah. I have a son with mental health. He's schizophrenic. And we didn't know what was wrong with him for a long time. Like, the public didn't. And so as it went on and went on, he's schizophrenic with narcissistic rage. And so finding out what was going on with him was a challenge for me, because I didn't know who to turn to. I didn't know that we had different, you know, different ways of, you know, getting information. But I seen, which was crazy to me, and not to go race, you know, put race in it, but I seen, like, if someone that wasn't Black was going through it, all those poor kids, something must have happened to them. But if the Black child was going through the same thing, or they just bad kids, or they grew up in a messed up family. When I finally got the help that he needed, it was a doctor who had, you know, taken on his case, because he had got arrested and they put him in the mental institution. And the doctor did a test on him, and the doctor said, this is what's wrong with your son. So this is the medication that we're going to give him. and see what happens. And it was like four different medications before they could really get his the levels right. And this medication, he's been on for 3 years. He's a truck driver and he's an advocate. I mean, he is an advocate for mental health. And, you know, it's really emotional for him because when he talks about it, you can hear it in his voice. And he was just like, he was just lost because he didn't know what was wrong with him either. Then
that's real. And I'm glad you touched on even going as far as in the system, because that's something I feel like when especially African-Americans, when they're being tried, they're normally, like you said, they're being accused of growing up in bad homes or whatever, but they never think about the mentalness of the child. Like, of course, they may have grew up in a messed up home, but don't you think at some point that affected them mentally or, right. You know?
It's deeper than just a home. And for my son's doctor, he said that a lot of times it's dormant and that it has to be something that happens. You know, that's something that happens and wakes it up. It's just like all of us, what we don't know it is that we are schizophrenic. Everybody in the world is schizophrenic. Right. But it's something that wakes up that super part of that part of your brain. We're schizophrenic, and I found out because while you're angry, you're somebody else. Like right now, Nala, you calm. But if something happens and that other part of you come out of you and you'll be like, Beta, you're like, I don't even remember doing that, girl. That's how mad. That's
like I have a lie in this side.
That's it. That's a part of being schizophrenic. So we're in control of it, but you know, and so that's a part of mental illness too. But like you said, African Americans, especially, you know, our young Black ones. What I found out too, real quick, is that in the 80s, and I had my first son, my first baby, when I was in the 80s. So he was born in 86. There was a medication that they were giving us as parents. And it was part of our prenatal vitamins, mm-hmm. and it affected the brain development in our children to the point where if you did research, you can see that kids born in the 80s were more prone to have brain aneurysms and to have this mental illness. So once I started doing my research, I was like, wow. And they pinpointed it down to a prenatal, you know, mm-hmm. prenatal vitamin. And there was some lawsuits that was brought up. But the thing about it is that they only took a handful of studies and then I didn't hear anything else about it. So, you know, big medicine, you know, they're not really going to say, you know, yeah, we really messed up unless somebody that has the power that be.
I went to school in the medical field. That's something that I learned as mm-hmm. being in there. And that's something that kind of twisted my direction of where I wanted to go in the medical mm-hmm. field, is that everything is trial and error in the medical field. And, you know, we believe some people believe what these doctors say, and they let that control their minds when they don't believe that everything we're doing is an experiment. Like when you go to the doctor, they don't really know.
No, they don't. They're practicing doctors. That's where the word practicing doctors mean. That means they're practicing on
practicing.
You. Eventually, they're going to get it right after getting it wrong so many times.
Yes.
You know? So,
and that's why so many of our medications are connected to certain things. We can take the same pill and be dealing with different stuff.
Yep. So, you're absolutely right about that.
So that's deep in itself, yeah.
Yeah. So I won't call it the victim, but a lot of people want to call it, you know, to be a victim of mental health. And we could be, because they experimented on me with the medication and this is what happened to my son. But as far as being aware of it, I'm happy at this point. And I actually spread it to my kids, because he has, you know, four siblings that didn't understand, that loved their brother to death, but just didn't want to be around him because they just thought he was crazy. And I remember right when my daughter passed, like a month before, and they were talking, and you know, and she was saying that her goodbye to them, and she just said, the biggest thing I'm taking with me is that I got my big brother back, you know, and that broke his heart because he was so out of our life for so long. Like we used to fear him coming around. You know, and that's just how bad it was. And then once you find out he stayed on the medication, and she said, I had my brother back for 4 years after not having him for 10 years of my life. You know, so Yeah, I'm with you with that. Like everything that you're saying is a fact. Like they experiment on us, and when they mess up, they don't live up to it. They don't confess to it. We just have to live with it. So.
Yes, and that's some stuff I seen alone in the surgery room, but I'm just gonna let that be. Yeah,
Look,
they mess
don't
up.
stop there. Look, because we can talk
Look, they
about
mess up.
this.
They ain't going down. They not
No,
finna go
they are not. And
down.
look, I know
Yeah,
people.
that's what got me out of there. Like, I think I just one day was like, this ain't for me. Like, I just can't be up here pretending. I just can't do this. And walked out on my internship and was like,
Oh,
I'm
wow.
yeah, I
But
was like,
that's
I'm
brave. That's
done.
brave, though.
Yeah. And
That
my mom, them, they didn't never, and they was like, you want to get out here in this entertainment stuff? I just said, yeah, I want to talk about it.
man, yeah. Because when you talk about it, you be about it. And so what
Yes.
you're spreading the information. And before we came on, you said I'm a big advocate for it, you know. And so it's something that you believe in, and you know that's wrong and that's happening. You know, so many of us are
They quit to
surprised.
call us crazy,
Yeah.
and you said victim. No, I don't believe that we are victims. We are, when you're aware of it, I think you're able to deal with what you're dealing with. But people do use it as being victimized. You know, they'll be like, oh, I'm crazy. No, you're not. You
No.
know, they'll use that, and I'm like, that's two different things. That's no, we're not finna mix that with the real mental health. Like, that's no, so we're not gonna do that.
You know
You
what
know,
it did for me though? Really
what?
finding out what was wrong with my son. It made me look at people that's homeless different. It made me look
Yeah.
at people walking down the street talking to themselves different. It made me look at men, especially my men, who are walking around with no shoes on talking to themselves. You know, it made me see them in a different light, you know, because everybody wants to say, oh,
Did
this is
they
just
really
like
go through to get here?
drugs. You know, you don't
Yeah.
know. You don't know. So then that's where your heart goes out to them. You know, you're sympathetic, you know, about them. You know, because I used to say that to my son all the time. You're gonna end up on the street, blah, 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 not knowing, you know, that he doesn't know what's going on with him. You know, he don't know what's wrong with him. And it's not his fault that this has happened to him. And so after I found out, really, I blamed myself for a long time, and then I had to come to, you know, I didn't give myself, you know, the medication. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, you know, I did everything I could. It was my first baby. I fell in love with the baby the moment that I knew that I had conceived. And so
Right.
I, when you know, as parents, you put a cage around your belly. You don't care about man, you don't care about dog, cats, or
That's
chickens. You care
my
about your baby and God, you know. And
Yes.
so. And I'm holding this, you know, this 9-pound beautiful boy. And I never in my wildest dreams did I think that this was something that was going on with him internally. And I didn't know about it, you know. And, you know, it's just, I'm happy. I'm in a place where I'm happy for him because he actually got his life back. Like I said, you know, he's a truck driver, he goes all over the place.
That's
But I'm
amazing.
always scared that he's going to forget to take his medication or, you know, but I don't have to forget about that now because he's such an advocate for it. Like he has an alarm that goes off, you know, to make
He don't
sure.
want to go back to it. And you know, losing his sister is probably something that he hold on that moment that she spoke
Yeah.
what she said.
Yeah.
That's something that he not gonna let loose.
No, because that was his baby sister. I mean, you
Yeah.
know, they're 12 years older than each other. So when she came, it was his baby. And when she was little and she would walk around the house, and the house was quiet, she would go and crawl in the bed with him. You know what I'm saying? She would go, yeah. And so that was like he grew up protecting her, and to miss that much time with him, you know, it really hurt her. But she said, my biggest thing was that I got my brother back. Yeah.
Yes, that's an awesome story, Miss Mona, to share. Make sure we get that out there, you know, and touching other people's lives and other people that are afraid to speak about what they're going through. So, but my next question for you is about communication. It seems that you are a great communicator, which I love. So can you share some of the tips that you expand out to each and every one of your people that with communication as you go throughout life?
And I mean, communication is the key. It's the key to everything because I learned the hard way to get started with because I was one of those person that thought that my man should have been able to read my mind. Like we've been together 62,000,
Guilty.
yeah, we've been together 62,000 years, so you should know if I say
Yes.
it, you know, and I pronounce my T's harder than that, you know. But I found out that that is not the case. I mean, if you don't talk about what's going on with you or your feelings or how you feel or what you're going through, nobody is supposed to know. I kind of pat myself on the back, because if I'm in a relationship, and it doesn't matter if it's business or in love, and even with my children, I study them, everything, like they are tests I have to take and I need to pass. So if I, when my husband would come home and he walked a little different, I knew that something was wrong. You know what I'm saying? So I would ask
him. Like observant too.
I would know it. If his smile was crooked instead of straight, I knew something was wrong. I was that kind of person. And then we would be able to talk to it. So I never was the person to shut him down or shut them up. I just needed them, you know, to explain. So, and he helped me with that too, because as a kid growing up in the 60s and the 70s, you were supposed to be seen quiet. And not heard.
Be quiet. Yes. And that's, right. And I build that with my kids as well. Like, our relationships is so, so open. And I started that when they was like 3, 4, you know, spending time with them, allowing them to be themselves, you know, letting them cry and not telling them to shut up all the time unless it get too much now. But other than that, I just let them be, like, you know, and to be able to have your kids pick up the phone and call you and talk to you, you know, is something that we didn't get growing up.
Yeah, we didn't get it at all. And as you say, I started out like that with my kids. I started out with, you know, no, you know, I don't want to hear it, this and that. And then I thought about it, and I was just like, just watching their faces, watching them trying to express themselves, and me being shut down to my parents, I was just like, I don't want that for my kids. I don't want them to feel like they can't come and talk to me. Now, I'm not a believer in my kids are my friends. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want them to talk to me like they talk to their friends, but I want them to come and talk to me like I'm a parent, and that, you know, when they have
trust in you.
Right. That they can trust in me, you know, not to cuss them out, you know.
Without being judged, but they can talk to you without us judging them.
Right, but to understand or try to understand, because I'll tell them, I don't understand why you did it, but I'm happy that you came to me and told me what's going on. Now we can try to probably fix it or work on fixing it or work on helping you heal behind what's going on, because you can't always fix it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. But I can't always fix it, but I always gave mine the ultimatum, like, okay, so we here, so what's next? What you made this decision, you fell in this hole, so what are you going to do about it?
What you going to do about it? I'm here with you. You know what I'm saying? You're not alone. And that's one of the things that I always told my kids. You're not alone with it. I can help you with anything except a lie. And so that was my thing too. So it was the truth that sometimes I couldn't deal with. So I would have to walk away because you don't want to. I wish they would have lied, but you know, you just, if you tell them to always be honest with you and tell you the truth, you have to be prepared for things you don't want to hear. Right. As a parent. And so there was a lot of things that I wasn't prepared to hear as a parent, you know, but I was happy that the fact that they, once my heart calmed down, you know, and all the volume was gone and I had drank all the alcohol in the house, I was happy that they was able to tell me, you know, what happened. So we have still, you know, relationships where we're able to communicate. All my kids are, you know, in their 30s now. And I have, my son is in his 40s. Well, he just turned 40. But oh, girl, no. See, you know how they say black don't crack.
We don't. And I
don't. You do crack, ma. So, but yeah. And that was another thing. I know off the subject, my journey with this album started at 55. And so it was just like so many questions. It didn't start out with me wanting to do an album. It started out with me getting some recording, you know, thing, because I've always had something to do with radio. So that's what I was going back to. I was going back to, you know, going back into radio again. And I recorded myself doing this old song and I loved it. And so I just started writing and recording. And after a while, it just was like, you can't stop now. You got a story to tell. Then it's falling. So finish it.
Oh, that explains your music. So just listening to some of the songs, or, you know, a couple of songs that were sent to us or whatever, that explains you bringing back that old school real love thing. Like, you know, like telling the stories, like, you know, Michael Jackson told a whole story in his music,
right.
or, you know, bringing the stories back through your, through the feelings and emotions of your music. And that's what's missing in R&B.
Yes. I just thought that the industry needed something different. Now, I can't take anything away from today's music. I really can't. All I can just say is it's not for me. You know, it wasn't made for me. And so sometimes, you know, you gotta not complain about the music. Sometimes you just gotta accept it for what it is and say, you know, my parents said the same thing about the music that I listened to. You know, yep. It wasn't made for them. So, you know, but what I did do for my kids, and I can say this, I gave them that old school music. Yes. And so even as younger kids, they were not interested in the younger music, you know, and they would always say, y'all ruined us.
Yeah.
Y'all ruined us. But listening to today's music, they will turn from that and go to Al Green, or, you know,
the good. Okay. Yeah, I'm riding in the car with them or something, and I'm to school. They like, Mom, what you listen to? I'm like, y'all like that? You know.
Right.
And so, I'm like, oh, can you put some Whitney Houston on? You're like, what?
Yeah. because you gave them that was your gift to them. And so, and music, I think, is one of the most beautiful gifts you can give your kids outside of, you know, them knowing God.
And that's therapy to me.
Yes.
So music is therapy.
It is therapy. And that was one of the things I said about my music. I wanted my music, and I always said it, and my brother is in the industry really big. And so I used to always tell him, I just want people that had hearts, that had ears to hear my music. I don't want to make money off my music. So he was just like, you will get that. But if it comes, it comes. I wanted people to laugh, to cry, and to heal from my music. My music was, well, I wanted it to be, because we get lost in ourselves so much that our emotions stop us from being able to speak and explain ourselves. I wanted my music to be able to explain somebody's explanation, you know what I'm saying? To tell what somebody was feeling. If you listen to Be Careful and you listen to the words, it's telling you what to do. You know, this is a part in there that says this is for that record we played over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're going through something, it was that one particular record that you wore out. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because it spoke what you couldn't say. It was the feelings that you couldn't express. And so you played it until it just killed itself, you know? And so that's what all my songs are about. You know, I've had older people and younger people, and this is what I really like, when the younger people say, your music is so relatable that you would think it was coming from somebody who sung it up today, but it's got that old school feeling to it. I can't stop listening to it. So me and my mom and my grandmother is listening, you know, to your music. So that makes me feel good. You know what I'm saying? That one is
relates to all generations. So that's a real big thing to hear.
It's amazing. So okay. I'm excited. Like I said, I wanted to explain something of everybody's life. I want somebody to hear a song on my album and say she's talking about me, or she's saying what I want to say, or she's reading my heart, or please tell her to get out of my head. What was that song, Roberta Flack? You know what I'm talking about. What's her name? She did it over again. Strong in My Pain with His Finger. Right, that's it. And who did it? And what's her name? She did it over. I can't even remember her name right now, but, you know, beautiful singer. But she did the song over again, and that's what I wanted to do. Like I'm reading somebody's mind with my music.
And that's amazing. You did that. So yeah. You know pretty much not how old you are, but we know where you are in life right now. How do you handle a good work-life balance?
Oh, well, all my kids are grown, to be honest. And so I have grandkids. I have two grandkids that I see almost every day unless I run away. They don't live too far from here. And so they will call me and tell me, Grandma, we're on our way. But as far as the work and balance you talk about before the music or after the music? What do you mean?
After the music, doing right now while you're doing the music.
Well, while I'm doing the music, I'm just, this is my work. Like you said, how do I balance it out? Like I don't have, when I'm working on a project, I dedicate a certain amount of time to that project, and nothing interferes with that project. Unfortunately, my baby was sick and off and on in the hospital from November 2002 until, you know, she was in and out. So a lot of it got put, you know, my music got set back. Her whole thing was, Mom, I'm not going anywhere, go home and record, you know, and yeah. I never left her. I couldn't. So, and I have no regrets from that. If I had to do that over again, I would spend all this time with her and I put the music on the back burner, but I didn't. I had to be there with her. She hated it, every moment of it. She hated me not doing my music. She hated me being there. I can remember her waking up telling me, stop staring at me and go write something, you know. But like right now, when I'm able to do it, I dedicate a certain amount of my time to my music and nothing interferes with that, you know. I've said it three times, except my relationship with God, I've said it three times, so you know that I advocate. I can't do any of this without him. Man, I cannot do any of this without him. And if it's something that I think, if I'm writing a song and it's something that I think that he's not going to be okay with, I'll erase it. You know, I can't write fiction, you know, I can write it, but singing it, you know that it's not real. So everything in my album, when you hear it, it's my life. You know, it's my story and my emotions come out in that. If I'm writing something that's not mine, my emotions don't come out of it. Yesterday during the radio station, my granddaughter called in and she's 8. And I was like so surprised to hear her voice on the radio. And she says, I don't care about any of that. I just want my grandma to sing Llama Llama Red Pajama, you know? So, you know, I was just like, oh my God, you know, I loved it. I wasn't embarrassed by it, but she wouldn't be quiet until I sung it to her. Okay. Say it again.
I say out of the mouth of babes. You just out of the mouth of babes.
And so that was that. But, you know, it wasn't a juggling act because, like I said, all of my kids were grown when I decided to do this on their own in their own home. So I was in my own home. And the journey just brought back memories that I thought was gone. And this is for the loves we lost but never died. That's where that line came in, because it brought back memories of loves that I lost. And then, you know, that feeling came back. So I said, well, this never died. You know what I'm saying? It was hibernating. And so now it woke up again. So that's where that line comes in, and be careful, you know. But I loved it. I love the recording. I love to see what's going to come out of my mouth next as far as my vocals are concerned. And I learned that I have more soul than I thought I did. You know, I learned that I can do different things, because I have a manager who actually would push me to the point where to breaking, like, you can do better than this. You can do that. I've heard it before. And I would be like, he's never heard it out of me. And so he would play something back and I can hear something in the music. And I was like, I don't even remember doing that. You know what I'm saying? I don't even remember making that sound. And so, you know, and I know he only did it, you know, out of love, because he knew what I was capable of before I knew what I was capable of. Right. And even in my writing, like, it's all the truth. And so my lyrics are not on the top lyrics. There's layers and layers and layers under those lyrics. And I think that's what's going to pull everybody in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they listen.
Yes. Oh, they're going to listen. I'm going to do it. You know, you ride in the car and you hear the same song about 50 times before you get to the corner store. That's what I'm going to do with my music. So they going to have no choice, but they ain't going to have no choice but to listen to it.
That's right. If they not going to listen to it, you're going to force it some type of way.
Some type of way you're going to get something. So.
So I have a wild card moment right here in the den.
Oh, God. I'm always scared of those.
Is somebody else trying to get in? Did you invite somebody else? Let me see. Oh, yo, is this your manager?
Is it Robert?
I think so.
Yes.
He didn't see it this time. I just happened to look up. Like, is somebody trying to get in with us?
Yeah, he was texting me. And
I'm like, hey girl, somebody trying to get in.
I don't know how it works. Look, I don't know how the podcast how it works on there. Did he get in?
Yeah, I let him in.
Okay.
I let him in. So back to where we were. I do have a wild card. It's for you. Yeah, I like to play Uno, so I'm pulling a wild card with all four of the colors on there right now.
Oh, that's cool.
The wild card for you is, I've been listening to you talk. I see your heart is for your kids, your family, and everything that you do is about family. My wild card for you is, if you could be any TV show in the world, who would it be and why would you choose them?
If I could be on any TV show?
If your family could take the place of any TV show in the world, or if you could create your own TV show in the world, what would it be, like, as far as the title and why?
Oh wow, that's a deep one. I really don't know. I don't have a like my, you know, if it was scripted, the first thing I would say would be the Huxtables, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't have a Huxtable life. It would just be family, you know, and my daughter's name was Heaven. And so if I had to do a show and she's not here, the show would be called Faith Like Heavens, you know, because she had that faith, you know, right. And that's why she was able to let go the way she did. So it would be about that. It would be about my journey through the music, you know, and how I'm able to, you know, go on without her. You know, it would be a reality show, you know, and it would be, you know, be just the support of my family, my kids, my manager, you know, my friends. And it would be, you know, it would be chaotic in some points. So, and then
that's a reality TV show. You can't leave out that part.
Yeah, but there wouldn't be any, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to always be a struggle, but that's what it would be. It would be about my family, my kids, you know, and my journey through this whole career at my age right now. Now, mind you, I started at 55, and that was 2 years ago. So there you have it. Okay, so that tells you.
But the people that know how to do math.
Right. So that tells you where I am. And I was actually asked by Patti LaBelle on a call that shouldn't have came to me, but my uncle's in the business and he travels, you know, and she asked me what was my biggest fear. And I said, my biggest fear is my age. She said, child, you worried about the wrong thing.
And
she said, I heard your music and it's timeless. Mm-hmm. She said, you think I have new music? I'm still singing New Attitude. And I sing to sold out arenas all around the world. So listening to my music, it was basically like, that gives me the courage to say that I can stop right now. Because I can't stop when other people are listening to Lollipop, Lollipop, Lick a Lolly, Lick a Lolly. Right. I'm not gonna leave my generation to them. That's what she said. She said, I can't leave my generation to that.
Yes.
The fact that you're bringing back this type of music, it's an instant classic. Your album is going to be here forever. Some songs are here forever, and some songs, you know, just fade into the darkness and go away.
And that's so, the thing, because you're not just thinking about, you know, as the generation change or as the world changes, like, no, it's still people here that yes. listen. This it's still people here that feels my music. Like, we not all I'm not all on that boopity boppity boop killing.
Oh my goodness no, I can't. Like I said, I didn't want to get on that music. But I remember when I first, now this is my first real experience with going through the motions and learning how to put an album together and doing all this. But I've been singing all my life. And about 10 years ago, I did this again, but I didn't do it right. I wasn't doing it right. But when I came into it, I was told that I had to do filthy music or dirty music in order to get the attention that I needed, but I couldn't let my mom hear it. If it's music and I'm making it and my mom can't hear it, then I'm ashamed of it, but I still did it. And then when she wanted to hear it, she didn't care what I was saying because she didn't hear, listen to the words. She listened to the sound of my voice and she still loved it. But did that stop me from being ashamed? No. And so still having my moral compass and still being the person that I am as far as, you know, my relationship with God is concerned, I used to say I hated when he looked at me. Now I love when he sees me because I know my voice is a gift from him. You know, he didn't say that I had to sing gospel music. I just had to make the music beautiful. You know what I'm saying? So I opted out of singing gospel. And I know that his first language is music anyway. So I know he hears me. And I know when I do something with my voice that I haven't done, I know that that's him, you know, sprinkling me a little bit. You know, I want to hear you get this note right here. I want to hear you do that role right there. I want to hear you, you know, as who I am, I want the angels to applaud for you like I am, you know, so I hold on to
that. Like, at that moment, if he has control, and it's like, you don't even know what you're doing. So it's just like, give him control and let him lead you.
Let him lead me. Yep. Yeah. Yes. Look, I didn't think about that, but I know that there's moments where I feel his presence in my music and it's not gospel music. And a lot of people will think you don't hear God, you don't feel God's presence in music unless you're singing about him. No, when you're singing about life and it's beautiful and you don't have to use derogatory remarks, and you don't have to say anything that's filthy and you're not hurting anybody, you sing about your life, God is present there. He's present in your voice. He's present in your vocals. He's present in your words, and he's present in your emotions. And that's why you get so emotional. It's not always about what you're saying, but how you're saying it and the fact that you're pleasing God, you know, and because you didn't have to compromise. And that's one of the things that I love about my label and my manager. It was one of the things that I told them in the beginning, I'm not going to compromise my integrity for this. And he said, you can't with me because I'm not going to let you and I'm not going to accept it from you. So that let me know that he was also God-fearing and that he wouldn't accept anything from me that wasn't, you know what I'm saying, that wasn't clean. Because if I can't play it for my mother, or I couldn't at the time, you know, God don't need to be hearing that from me. And my management, my label, they wasn't going to hear it from me either. So it was amazing. You know, the whole journey was amazing.
I'm just not on the artist side of it. I'm on the media side of it. And I'm the same way. Like, I'm an introvert. Like, I really don't like dealing with people. I don't. But it's like, you know, with what I do, it's like when you involve God in everything that you do, you're able to go in places where nobody can go to. And that's just something that I stick to. When I hear a lot, my biggest thing when it comes to people is, oh, we can't do that. Who said we can't? Because that's, now you're motivating me to do it. Because if you're telling me we can't do something, that's in your mind. It's nothing that we can't do. The only person that stops us is us.
You're right. So, the only person that stops us for us. With this, we had hiccups. We really did. But it wasn't to the point where there was a brick wall in our way. So we had already decided that if there ever came a time where there was a wall that we couldn't go over, get under, or go around, that it was God blocking.
Right.
So if God was blocking it, you know, not even dynamite was going to get us through it. So he would always tell me, do something else, because that wall was just that big. And so he was like, leave that.
Oh, the difference once you hit that brick wall, it's just like, move around. Or I can't move around, so I can find another way to go.
Robert, the one that's on the line, he would just tell me, go sit down somewhere. Because if I'm not listening to him, and you know, he's like, you can't get around it. You can't go over it, and you can't get under it. And you can't blast it. It's not a man-made block. It's God blocking it. Go sit down somewhere. And I would be stubborn. No, I'm going to get it. And I would take 3 weeks. And finally, I didn't waste it 3 weeks when I could already did three songs on one song, and I finally got it. And once I got it and understood that part of it, it just started, you know, it just started going smoother and smoother, because I wasn't gonna spend a week on a song that I know that I can get done within a day, you know. And anytime I got an obstacle like that, I remember Robert's words: go to something else. You need to move on. So,
yeah. And I'm like that with my interviews. Like when I first started, I felt like I needed so much help with getting interviews. I'm like, I need somebody to help me get interviews, get, you know, this and this, you know. But as I started growing, and even now, it's to the point where I'm just so peaceful with it. And I'm like, I need the help, but I don't really need the help. God is going to bring whoever he wants on my journey. And that's who it's going to be. Like, I'm not going to be out here stretched out, or you know, a lot, or I've had people be like, oh, that can get your platform on something big. And I'm like, okay, like, if God want me to be there, then he'll find a way for me to be there.
This is not your journey. With your mindset, this is your then God journey. So,
and then, so go sit down somewhere.
Right, go sit down. So this is both for your journey. Like you said, if God wants it for me, who gonna stop me from getting it?
I'd rather have it on God's terms,
because
I know he got
something
there. So
we were talking about that today. We were talking about running the race, you know, and I said that slow and steady is the race when you're running a one-person race, because you said it earlier, you know, me versus me. So if you're running the race and, you know, you're just taking your time to get there because you don't have no competition, there is no first or last place, you know. And when you get to the, you know, and everybody thinks, everybody, and I can't say everybody, I know that if you ask somebody what's their agenda for the race, they'll say winning it, or getting to the finish line. What's the point of getting to the finish line if you can't cross over?
Thanks.
You see what I'm saying? So your agenda should not.
That was a deep question.
And then, you know, Robert was talking about that today. The agenda should be to be able to cross over. And you're not going to be able to cross over that line without God's approval. Now, you may be able to beat the wall down and do all this stuff that you see everybody in the world doing. But what happiness is that? See, I want to get to the finish line and then cross over, because it wasn't by any means necessary in any means approved. It was only by God's approval that I was able to cross over that line. So that's where I am. That's my agenda and my journey, you know, is to not just to get to the finish line, but to be able to put my leg over it without no resistance, because God gave me the okay to do it.
I want to go over it with peace.
That's it. With peace.
With peace. And I'll take that any day. Right. So my next for you is, can you share any experiences with us when you had to actually think outside the box to find the actual solution to what you're doing?
So this is one that I'm not proud of, but I figured it out today too, that I never had to, because I always had my daughter. She was like, or Robert, when I was doing this journey, if you're talking about the music part, the thinking outside the box situation for me is when she passed away. I wanted to be stuck. Because when her dad died, when my baby was in the hospital when she was little, when we found out she was sick, she was 11. At 11, she was in the hospital for 6 months. So she did home and hospital there where she goes to school. When she finally got out, she got out in December, and we had to move her bed up to our room. And we lived, you know, in a big house. And we're celebrating her being home, and he dies there in the house during their celebration. So it wasn't, that was me. I was just like, are you serious? You know what I'm saying? She's been gone. You know, we live in the hospital, come home, and then you die right in the middle of the celebration. And then that same month, while we're doing the celebration for his going home, my mom dies during the day before the celebration. So I left. Like, I left. I kind of, like, fell out of, if you want to say, the rat race. You know what I'm saying? And I left everything. You know, I packed my two babies up because the other three were grown. So I packed my babies up and my three dogs, and I just hit the road and didn't know where I was going. Didn't have a destination. Ended up at the Canadian border. and, you know, was turned back around. But this time, you know, my life was turned all the way upside down. But this time, thinking out the box came when my baby passed, and I couldn't stand still because she told me, don't stand still. She said, when this body is gone, Mom, don't stand still. Don't do what you did when Dad died, you know, because you're going to end up in Africa somewhere eating grass, you know. And we laughed about it. And, you know, I just got right back to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, after her the funeral and everything, you know, it took me a week, and I started taking pictures again and trying to promote. But everybody who's seen in my family, they were just like, it's in your eyes. You know, the pain is in your eyes. And it didn't matter how big my smile was, my pain was in my eyes. And
put it
so,
in your music.
Huh?
I said, put it in your music.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I'm finished with this album. It's hard for me to go back. You know, my manager's always saying, you still have a billion songs, you know, keep recording. But I want to get through this right here. But thinking outside the box, I had to think of a way to keep moving. You know, Gladys Knight said it, you know, you got to keep on moving, keep on keeping on. I got to use my imagination. So that was me thinking outside the box. You got to figure out a way to keep going. You got to figure out a way to not to break down every day. You got to figure out a way to, you know, and this was the thing I loved about my daughter is she did a 30-day instant email. So the first one I got, it scared the daylights out of me because it was 3 days after she passed. And she says, I don't know what day I was going, but if I'm still here, don't read this, right? So right. I'm mad and I open it. And she says, I'm sorry that I scared you, you know? And she said, now dry your eyes, stop crying. I got something that I need to tell you. So she told me, she showed me how, you know, she had did the 30-day email. She wished she could have did it for, you know, a year, but she said, this is my way of helping you navigate through life without me, but gradually, you know? And so that sent me, you know, in just to tears, but every day was something different. But every day she would start with, stop crying. You know what I'm saying? Once you stop crying, I need you to pray so you can hear me. And if you get, you can hear me because God is going to talk to you, you know, while you're reading my message. So every day was something different. And every day she would tell me, it would be a joke in there, a knock knock joke that she wouldn't give me the answer to till the next day, which really pissed me off because I couldn't open the emails. And if I tried to open them, the emails would disappear. She would tell me, if you try to do it, it's going to, yes. And I couldn't get them all at once, but now I'm able to read them all at once because the 30 days has passed. But it was her love letter to me. You know what I'm saying? And it actually helped me to navigate, to be able to keep moving because she knew me. Because I would have just sit still. I would have turned to stone. Yeah. I wouldn't have done anything yet. So I don't know. Me using her words was me thinking outside the box. Use what she's telling. Continue to go forward. Don't stand still. Don't turn to concrete. Just, you know, and don't be so hard on yourself, you know, and give this person a break. And don't be so hard on that person. And you need to listen to this person. And it would be my manager all the time. Listen to Robert. Don't be so mean to him. Y'all need to stop arguing. So she was like, you know, you hard headed. He gets on your nerves. You know, he crazy, but he got your best interests at heart, you know? So, you know, other things. And she knew when I had stopped caring about anything. So it was crazy because 2 weeks into the message, she says, Mom, get up, wash your face and brush your teeth. She said, and take your hair down because I know there's a nest inside of your hair. I actually took my hair down and it's long. So when I go to, you know, you got long hair. So you go to touch it and you got a nest inside your hair where you can't touch your scalp.
In a couple days.
It took me a week to get that nest out of my hair. So I was just going to cut it all off and just start all over again. But, you know, just the conversations with her, she helped me to be able to, like you said, think outside the box. I navigated outside the box. I came out of the box. And I navigated around my pain, you know, it's there, but she helped me navigate around it. And so we've been pushing on since then. And that's how we ended up here with you, which I'm happy to say.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing. So what role does continuous learning play in your career?
Say it again.
What role does continuous learning play in your career?
Oh man, I had to start reading up on things, and the thing that I thought is that at one point I was too old to learn something. I did. I just was like, I'm set, you know. I've been a wife, I've been a mother, you know, what else can anybody teach me? But you'd be surprised what you can learn, especially in the music industry. I didn't know anything because I wasn't in this part of the music industry. You know, dealing with Fox and, you know, that was a gift to me. I never had to deal, you know, with the components of it. You know what I'm saying? The makings of it. All I had to do was make good music, submit it and have it submitted. And then if they were going to use it, they were going to use it. But I learned the skill set for that. I learned how to put during this part of the learning lesson, I learned how to put music together. I learned how to, with this album, I learned how to, that all my music didn't have to have the same melody, because that's what the issue was with me. I had a billion songs with the same melody, you know, but I learned, you know, it was crazy because I didn't know the difference between backgrounds and ad-libs. And so when we would bump heads, me and my manager, he would be like, you need backgrounds. And I was like, those are backgrounds. He's like, those are not backgrounds. Those are ad-libs. And I'm like, well, he said, you're just repeating what you're singing in a different way. Those are not backgrounds. But what made me mad about him, he would not tell me what backgrounds were. He would send me a clip to go to YouTube to figure it out myself.
Gotta read it.
I was supposed to see, look at you. I was so stubborn, I wouldn't go. And then one day I had to go, and it was during the last two songs, and I figured out, and I went there, and they was telling me what backgrounds was, and I was mad at myself because backgrounds are la la la's and ooh oohs, you know, and you coming back, you know, to yourself and doing, you know, repeating something but in a chant. And so I had hit him up after that. I think I hit him up a few months ago, and I said, is it too late for us to go back so I can put backgrounds in my music? He said, yep. You know, so it was the way he said it that I knew it was final, because I thought he was going to say, no, we could go and open the file up and let you put back, because he was so adamant about it.
Now you're going to learn today.
Right, yeah, and that's what it was. You're going to learn today. You got two songs with backgrounds, and the rest of them is just a bunch of ad-libs. But it's a learning lesson. So next time I do this, I'm going to have all kind of backgrounds in there that he just gonna get mad. It's too much background. You need to come up off the back.
Go hard or go home. Look, all you can do now is take some out.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it all to him. But just learning the way to record myself, because this whole album was written and recorded, you know, by me. It's actually when you put it together, the way that it's formatted, like every song, like I didn't get any help with that. And again, with my manager, he wasn't one that was going to tell me what to do. He was, like you said earlier, you know, trial and error. He was the one where you're going to figure it out, you know, and I was determined to figure it out, you know. And so it was many hours that I just wanted to choke the microphone or just give up or, you know, break something. And I didn't, because as soon as I was at that breaking point, what I needed to be figured out was figured out. And so I would pat myself on the back.
Don't it make you appreciate your work a whole lot much more than somebody actually? Yeah, because that's how I am. Like, you know, it took me a minute to get there, but once I started figuring out how podcasting and radio work, like, I see it's easier to ask for advice or whatever, but I also see a lot of people ask for information and don't even use it. Right. You know, so I wanted to be one of those people. No, I'm going to sit here and study this myself. And once I do accept it, then I'll be able to do it on my own. Like, I appreciate all the help that you're trying to give me, or, you know, but let me do this on my own, because I will appreciate my work more and I will take it more, you know, on the road, or it will last long, versus me not appreciating you just, you know. We didn't appreciate.
I was one of those people. I didn't appreciate the advice, because Robert wouldn't give me the advice. He would send me somewhere to find it. He wasn't gonna sit there and map it out for me. Yeah, and that would piss me off. And I was like, I'm not gonna go look for it. But you know, eventually you gotta go look for it yourself, because if you know him, you know, and it could be a simple question, like, you know, what's 2 + 2? Go figure it out. You know, he could just easily tell me 4, but then he would send me to a web page to teach me what 2 + 2 is. But with him, it was, and my brother would tell me all the time, or when I first started, my brother said, stop telling people what you don't know. Because once you tell people what you don't know, we live in a world that they'll take advantage of what you don't know.
But you don't know.
Right. And so he sent me a book about engineering. He sent me a book. During the engineering process of the book, it was telling me how to, you know, about the way you put music together, the way it's formatted, the way your song has to be. You have to have a hook, and then you have to have, you know, the bridge. You have, you know, it was just the way you put songs together. I didn't know that it was that, you know, the connection, you know what I'm saying? And so once I learned how to put the songs together and I listened finally, I was able, I think, to come up with something that's amazing, something that's beautiful, you know, and I'm proud of it.
It was kind of like they helped you create your own sound. I'm a big person. Like I said, I went to school. I studied a lot of stuff in the medical field. Everything starts in our mental. Everything starts in the mind. I feel like if they would have gave you so much stuff, you would have took something from someone else and put it with you. But being that they made you study, you created your own sound. Like, you're not a Patti LaBelle. You're not a, you can't compare you to one of the older people. You have your own specific sound. Like, there, you have a uniqueness about yourself that no one else has. Versus you might hear Patti like Shaka. Yeah. You know, you don't have that.
No, I don't. And I at first I didn't pride myself in that because I was just like that I'm so different that they're not going to accept me. But I've been honestly singing with this style, the same style, since I was a little girl. So at 6 and 7 and you hear yourself sing, you think it's a joke, but it gives you some kind of feeling that you don't want the joke to ever end. And then as a kid, like, I don't know if you got my bio, but my dad, he sung with some of the greatest musicians, soul singers that ever lived. Well, you look at B.B. King, Bobby Blue Band, Johnny Taylor, you know, just everybody. My favorite, Luther Ingram. These were uncles to me. I didn't know these people were famous. You know what I'm saying? They were in my home twice a year, you know, doing whatever. And as a little girl, my dad would push me to the front. And if one of them had a guitar and they were playing a guitar, you know, I would just be singing the blues, you know, don't nobody love me but my mama, you know, this, and I'm 6, you know what I'm saying? And she might be jiving too. And so with them being around and them just looking at me, I always thought that it was a look of just that, like they were upset, you know, because of the look. But then it was later on that I found out that they were a look of surprising, like, how is this
little girl singing like this?
My mom would come in and she would pick me up and take me to bed, pat me on my butt, send me to bed. But I would always lay down. I remember laying down in the hallway, sliding commando style, just to lay there and listen to my father sing. You know, it was a tone in his voice that I wanted. And so I would mimic him, but it was Al Green who I wanted to be. And so I would listen to those Al Green albums over and over again, and I wanted to sing like him. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a woman singer who I wanted to sing like. It was just always men. The tone in a man's voice, the way that he could get away with things that women couldn't, you know, as far as the music was concerned, the way that they could form their mouths or they could make words sound differently than when a woman said it. You know, I didn't want my words to sound sweet and neat, you know. Right. I wanted them to be hard hitting and for somebody to go, woo, you know. And that's how I grew up singing. But like I said, I don't know if I wanted to, for somebody to say, well, you remind me of this person or that person. I was never one for somebody to say, you remind me of this person. Still today, you know, if I ask somebody, well, who do I remind you of? They would be like, nobody. You have your own style. You know, we live in a world where everybody wants to sound like Beyonce because she's amazing. So every girl that sings to me, she sounds like Beyonce, or they all have this little sweet voice. You know, from age 25, I was telling people, I don't have a little girl's voice. You know, I have this bluesy, raspy voice, you know, and I was told that I was not shoppable, you know, at age 33. You know, you're not marketable. You know, you have to have sound like Aaliyah, you know, to make it in the business, you know. And I stopped singing after that. Like, I had just given up. Like, I couldn't even hum anymore because I was like, what's the point? You know, I'm just going to, you know, be at home. And so I didn't go through with this part of my life. Now, honestly, this was not my dream. This to be out here, it was not my dream to be where I am in this position. And it was more than just a calling. It was a longing. So it was like a longing to be heard. I needed somebody to hear what I had to say. And so that's what brings me here again to this day. So
glad you shared so much personal stuff with us today to take with us on our own personal journey. Everything has been touching. Everything has been learnable, you know, not just for us. It's been for other people that's out there, especially women or older women that's out there who feel like, you know, it's too old. They feel like they're too old to start their journey. I just made a post about that the other day. Like, you're never too old to do anything. It just all starts with you. You can start anytime. Like, you can get up and start whenever you get ready. Like, nobody's stopping you.
You know, I'm too old to twerk. I tell my kids that all the time, and I'm too old to drop it like it's
hot.
But
we don't agree with that, you know.
No, but I tell them because they be laughing. I said, I may not be able to drop it like it's hot, but I can drop it like it's warm and make some soup out of it. So, you know what I'm saying? So it can be lukewarm soup. But
the time you was twerking, doing the butt was out and all of that
stuff. Doing the butt, that was our thing. Mine, because you sleep like a baby. But you are never too old, and I found that out. I was not too old, And for Patty to say, girl, you worried about the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not too old to learn how to fly a 747. I'm not, you know, because I have all my faculties about me. You know, by the time I get out of school, I might be wearing diapers, but still I got all my faculties about me. So if you have, you know, a dream, and I don't really like calling them a dream. It's like a longing, because to me, a longing is different than a dream, because that's just like, you know, you have a goal without a date. That's all it is a dream. You know what I'm saying? And so you if you have a longing for something, and you said things start in your mind, you start with the longing. It's a thing, it's a thought. But when that longing gets in your heart and that's what motivates you, your thoughts don't motivate you. Your heart is what motivates you. So once it was in my heart to motivate, you can't stop that. It's a motor. Motivate. And so once that motor started going, there was no shutting me down. You know, I would go in my studio at 11 o'clock in the morning and come out at 3 o'clock that next morning, you know, because once I got started, my words just spilled out over the paper, onto the table, onto the floor, until it was able to hit my microphone. And I just went for it. And I hadn't stopped until I got right here. So this journey, look, I don't care. I mean, you're not too old. If you're 70, if you want to learn Spanish, do it. If you're 55 and you want to, you know, go out and learn how to ballroom dance, do it. If whatever it is that you want to do, as long as you have breath in you and it's not hurting anybody, and that's my main thing, as long as it's not hurting anybody, you're going to disappoint people no matter what you do. Yeah. You're going to disappoint somebody. If you can avoid hurting them, then you go on and do what you're going to do. And disappointing them, you apologize for it later. But you go on and do what you're going to do. And that's what I got to say about that.
Well, Ms. Mona, you answered my last question for you today. My last question was going to be, leave me with three things that I would need to take with me on my journey. But I think you just basically put all of that at the end to wrap me up for my journey to continue to keep going. And I really appreciate you for taking the time out of your schedule to allow us to be a part of your journey right here. So you are now on our radar right here in Jacksonville, Florida, for Power 904. And before you go, tell the people where they can find you at.
If you're looking for me on social media, on Facebook, I'm Mona Smith. And then my music page is Velvet Sandpaper on Facebook, Velvet Sandpaper Worldwide on Instagram, and Well Damn Mona on Instagram. So that's the four right there. That's the four. So y'all send me some requests. Send me, let's chat about it. You know, just again, I love what I do. I love talking to people. I love getting advice. I don't care if you're young or old, you know, somebody gonna teach me something. And so, you know, and follow my journey, please, because it's not over. It's just beginning. I got tired.
We love back for more interviews for you as we watch you grow. I'm a person that do personal follow-ups. I don't let my, you know, interviews in here just because I did it today. You go on our social medias, none of that. I still feel like, again, it goes back to mental health. I still care about your mental as you're going through your journey. So I do personal check-in, you know, maybe 3 weeks from now, and be like, hey, Mona, how you doing? You know, what's going on?
Look, and you know I'm going to answer back. Hootie-hoo! Yeah. I'm gonna ask you back like that.
Yes, but it's all about building relationships as we grow together, you know. Right. And I believe in that, you know.
You build relationships, build bridges.
And yes.
You never know which one of us is gonna have to cross. And so, you know, this is a bridge that we're building, you know what I'm saying? And I don't plan on, you know, breaking it. I want to always be able to come this way and allow you to come this way. So
yeah, I don't know when you're gonna hit Jacksonville, Florida.
All you gotta do is send me an invite. I'm working with my team is working on me doing some shows, and we're looking at a tour. So I know that's gonna be one of the stops because they mentioned it today. So you know, I'm gonna let you know a week in advance. You know what I'm saying? Bring your dancing shoes. You know, not the heels. You know what I'm saying? Because just wear your flats, because I'm about to be out there acting out.
Yeah, all about having fun, I am.
Yes, for sure.
All right, you guys. So you heard it here first, right here in the den with your girl on Power 904. Make sure you stay tuned for what's going to happen.
I appreciate you.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
You too.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Nala right here from Nala's Den, and you're riding out to the 10-Minute Indie Spotlight Show right here on Power 904. Don't play with me.
Teezy on the track, boy. Teezy on the track.
I live a different life. I get a different price. I spend it twice a night. Yeah, ho, we not the same. I be the different type. That mean we not the same. No. I like to feed my dogs. You like to let them hang. We had a different clean. Mine had the rocks in it. Yours like baking soda. Junkies mad when they shop with you. Double off a quarter, fulfilling order. Mess up your sack for your real. Post some pictures of pistols on Instagram. So tell me how you still got beat up. Sipping margaritas on the beach with creatures. And it got me touching their features. Making the movie, your girl's the feature. I be the student and she was the teacher. I got a gagging on these nuts. When I hit from the back, she like, ease up. The way that I touch her, you think I'm a pastor. The way that she screaming out, Jesus. I live a different life. I get a different price. I make a different check. I spend it twice as nice. Yeah, ho, we not the same. We not the same. We not the same. Yeah, ho, we not the same. We not the same. We not the same. I live a different life. I get a different price. I make a different check. I spend it twice as nice. Yeah, ho, we not the same. We not the same. We not the same. Yeah, ho, we not the same. We not the same. We not the same. Yeah, we like to put in work. You like to stand around. You sold a couple grams. We sold a lot of pounds. Started with depression, made you have to catch up. What I'm spitting here is a must turn. While I'm moving all this custard, getting money, fuck a buster. Ooh, I'm with Chalane, they ain't chilling. Poolside, Vegas, my chain hang chilling. Homegirl a rat, no, she can't hang with me. She ran through the crew, brought the gang with me. No, you did not come up from poverty. You really grew up in a nice house. You made a whole lot of bad decisions trying to figure what the fuck this life about. Now you a goddamn rapper, ain't make a play with a goddamn trapper. Say you gon' ride till the wheels fall off, hear a couple bang bangs, now teeth start chatter. We cut from a different cloth, your stitching is bitch made. Your focus is getting pussy, my focus is getting paid. I live a different life, I get a different price, I make a different check, I spend it twice as nice. Yeah, ho, we not the same, we not the same, we not the same. Yeah, ho, we not the same, we not the same, we not the same. Yeah, ho, I live a different life, I get a different price, I make a different check, I spend it twice as nice. Yeah, ho, we not the same, we not the same, we not the same. Yeah, ho, we not the same, we not the same, we not the same. Yeah, ho.
You are currently in the den.
Wonder when I see you again. Ay, funny how quickly things can change. We gotta lock away, we gotta stay away. Now I'm here messed up like I'm here to save the day. I know you heard the word, they trying to flatten curves while I'm just trying to come over and relax in yours. Ay. But now I know that's not cool. Right now we only see each other virtual, no school. But now I'm trying to learn you, if that's okay, if that's right. And if I see you one day, that'll be the night of my life. We take flights, or maybe we can go somewhere outside. I do not care, as long as you're right here by my side. But wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait until I get to see you. But wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait, ay. This thing can't keep us apart forever, no. This thing can't keep us apart forever, This thing can't keep us apart forever, no. This thing can't keep us apart, ay, ay. Thinking about you like a kid on Christmas Day, my present and future. We laying back watching movies like, ay, 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 what you doing that Friday? When this is all over with you on my shoulder, like, please, please tell me where are we going? All that I know is I can't get you off my mind. You are all that I need today. But now we cannot be together. For you I travel through the worst weather. I don't know what to say about it. But baby, hold up, I don't know, maybe it get too crowded. With all these emotions floating around the air. But then I go look around and I don't care. So I put this mask off, hug and kiss you. Cause you know, baby girl, I do miss you. Wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait until I get to kiss you. But wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait, ay, I just can't wait to hug you. But wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait, ay, until I get to love you. But wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait, ay, until I get to see you. But wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait, ay, until I get to see you. But wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait, ay, but wait. This thing can't keep us apart forever, no. This thing can't keep us apart forever, This thing can't keep us apart forever, no. This thing can't keep us apart, ay, ay. This thing can't keep us apart forever, no. This thing can't keep us apart forever, This thing can't keep us apart forever, no. This thing can't keep us apart, no, no. All that I know is I can't get you off my mind. You are all that I need today.
Now that's dope.
Campaign, and we ain't drinking water, only champagne. I'm about to run your time, do a drill, then I skirt off. Then I pack your bags, fuck the hoe, and pull her skirt off. Made it out the mud, then I
brush the dirt on. My man keep the 40 with the beam, call it Rudolph. Oh, no, they stealing captions on my photo. The woman hella likes with VVS is wrapped in rose gold. See me with an actress in the backseat up in Soho. You can hit me if you need it, know I got it for the Lolo. If we talking facts, I don't like my women friendly. If they want smoke, niggas coming through your chimney. That's how I play. Are you stupid? Are you dumb? I got major status in the city where I'm from. I be diplomatic, I be doing what I want. I be in the field, gun kicking like a punk. That ain't what you want. No. Bitch, watch what you say to me. Don't wanna be my enemy. That trigger takes some strength, but I got a lot of energy. A leader of my life, ain't no middle man to me. Deals in the making, I knew just what the plan to be. If we took a fact, I don't like my women friends. Niggas coming through your chimney. Room full of red, man, we got too much chemistry. I don't got time for these hating niggas dissing. If we talking facts, I don't like my women friendly. If they want smoke, niggas coming through your chimney. Room full of red, man, we got too much chemistry. I don't got time for these hating niggas.
Indie.
Coronas and grenadine. I sip reminisce, get applause when I speak, cause my flow is mean. I'm thinking about all of the shit that they told to me. These crackers fear our elevation. Try to kill our culture, then they demonize self-preservation. I'm running from Satan. I ran into love, I ran out of patience. Just had a daughter trying to figure out how to keep her off the pole and keep my son out of case. So close I can taste it. The forbidden fruit of the rich and famous. Worth it, but it's dangerous. Social media famous. Niggas trapping bangers, snitching after getting indicted. Shit is crazy, fuck I'ma do. Niggas get blood on their hands for bloody shoes and designer fabric. Shit is tragic, riding with the automatic like a passenger. Catch you, they blessing you. Calling us radical, but got every excuse for police. Grew up in hoods where guns and drugs is prevalent. You don't think he got PTSD? His homie got smoked and his daddy on coke. He grew up in houses, he sharing with roach. But bread in the pocket, he carrying toast. Never on safety, his better than host. He just wanna ball in the streets as his coaches. No Joe and Big Meech in the poster. Stay in the house and police patrolling. Living like this and good deeds going old. They shelter the young and they teaching the oldest. Fuck the POTUS, you support him, you bogus. Ain't feeling shit you saying, now you bipolar. Stack in the deck, you ain't meeting your quota. First week was weak, your season is over. This shit the reason I breathe. I do this for niggas relating to what I'm saying. This shit the reason I lead. It's serious to me. It's never a joke when it come down to feeding my seed. I put on fatigues and go to war with everybody. Flipping their pocket, I need every dollar. Nigga, all profit. Pray to God got me coming hard body. Summer rain on a nigga called Thomas. Bring the pain when I started. I ain't stopping. Change the game. Tell my nigga that I got him. Yeah. Coronas and grenadine. I sip reminisce. Get applause when I spit cause my flow is mean. I'm thinking about all of the shit that they told to me. These crackers fear our elevation. Try to kill our culture, then they demonize self-preservation. The shit that we facing, no other race can survive. They pat us in slave ships, ain't know the language. Took all the men from the tribe, we fought and they hanged us, calling us heinous. Treated like we aren't dangerous, followed in our own neighborhoods. Cops called by the neighbors, they to say the shit ain't racist, they try to degrade us. Nigga, we made us, that's why you hate us, fuck all your favors. Did everything to break us, welfare, now the family breakup, then it's 100 to 1. Longer time for crack than coke, like it's different or something. Our people addicted, get sent to a prison, white people addicted, addiction reform. Through all the affliction, we weathered the storm. Penalty different when your skin is rich with melanin. Prison system ain't no rehabilitation, who gon' hire you when you got a felony? No, you don't. But then that shit you peddling. Know your pedigree. Know that greatness in you. You don't use it, then you settling. And our culture is the evidence. Fuck what they telling you. Coronas and grenadine. I sip reminisce, get applause when I speak, cause my flow is me. I'm thinking about all of the shit that they told to me. These crackers fear our elevation. Try to kill our culture, then they demonize self-preservation. Crackers fear our elevation. Try to kill our culture, then they demonize self-preservation.
everybody. It's your girl Nala right here from Nala's Den, and you're riding out to the 10-Minute Indie Spotlight Show right here on Power 904. Don't play with me.